Good morning. This morning is the All Souls Day service. We are remembering those who have come before us. And as we play the music, we will show photographs of those who have passed. So this is a chance to remember them and to pray for all of us and for their souls. So again, read Genesis 24:67. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so comfort is a great strength for us. Isaac had lost his comfort. It's a power that we must have in order to live in the world. No matter how small the comfort is, it is the comfort that keeps things going. It is because of this comfort that we are able to renew our minds. It is because of the comfort that I can remember the meaning and significance of my existence once again. Comfort is the great power that warms us up, and it may just be a small step, but it can become a driving force to take a small step that requires such great power. Comfort is a force that affirms me as a person and keeps me close. It's a force that affirms me as a person. It keeps me close. And even when I've done wrong, even though I may have just been blamed or condemned, it's still a comfort that covers my personality. And so we feel relieved when we experience comfort that reaches our heart. If you look up the opposite of the word comfort, you will find the words trouble and suffering, blame and condemnation. We all face troubles, suffering, blame and condemnation in our lives that we need comfort from. But comfort gives us the strength to endure these hardships. Isaac lost that comfort with the death of his mother, but we humans can find a certain amount of comfort from doing things we enjoy. Seeing beautiful scenery and eating our favorite foods, indulging in hobbies. But because we are human beings with a personality, our own special ways, we are basically relieved by personal comfort that comes through other people. That's why Isaac's mother, his beloved mother, was a great comfort to him. And so it's understandable that Isaac, when he lost the comfort of his mother, his loved one, that it was difficult. And it can happen to us too. No matter how much fun we have, no matter how beautiful the scenery we look at, no matter how much of our favorite food we eat, no matter how many hobbies we enjoy, if we don't have personal comfort, those fun things will not bring us comfort, but rather add to our sorrow. An event that is so great that we lose our comfort is the death of a person. Surely for Isaac, who was born when his father Abraham and mother Sarah were old and lived with his father and mother on the Great Plains, the magnitude of his mother Sarah's presence and the degree of comfort she gave him may have been greater than we can imagine. However, after the loss of such great comfort, a new comforting person appeared to Isaac. It was his wife, Rebekah. Isaac's age in Genesis is 40, so he is a grown man of 40 years of age, and now he is given a new comforter. In Genesis 24, we read that Abraham, who was getting older and felt his own mortality was imminent, ordered his most trusted retainer to go on a journey to select and receive a wife for Isaac. The retainer, who obeyed the order and went out, returned with a woman, Rebekah. And she was delighted to be married to Isaac. The last words of the record are the words of Genesis 24:67. So let's read it again. So here it is written, and let us read it again. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It seems that Old Abraham wanted to give Isaac, who was grieving over the loss of his mother Sarah, someone new to comfort him. Of course, it goes without saying that there's a major historical aspect that connects the fulfillment of God's promise that Jesus Christ, the Savior, would be born from Abraham's line. So, I'm sure he was following God's will, but it was also out of his love for Isaac, to comfort Isaac, that he wanted to give his son a wife. As we look at the record of this series of marriage activities, of the search for the woman and the ceremony, we can clearly see that God is one who wants to comfort his people. If we go from beginning to end of Genesis 24, it's clear that the journey of the retainer to find Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was God's will and God's guidance. Let's look at the Bible. So starting with verse 42, "When I came to the spring today, I said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your drawer. And if she says to me, drink and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelet on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Laban and Bethuel answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's daughter, master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. This is the testimony of the servant that Abraham sent to find a wife for his son. And all in the story recognized the hand of the Lord in this quest, and how the Lord had led this servant to the place where he would find the wife who was the best for Isaac. And now let's see how Rebekah responded in verses 57 and 58. Then they said, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. And in this way, Rebekah came to Isaac and became his wife. And this gave him great comfort after his mother's death. God knows. He knows everything about us, and he knows very well that we lose our comfort when we lose someone who is precious to us. God knows that when we lose our comfort, when we lose someone who is precious, and he does not like to leave us in a state where we have lost that comfort. In the beginning of the book of Genesis, he did not approve of Adam being alone, and so gave Eve to him. The one and only God who created the heavens and the earth wants to comfort people. In the book of Isaiah, there are many places where we can see how much God wants to comfort people. Let's look at Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And again, in Isaiah 49, verse 13, it says, shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Then again, in chapter 51, we have verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins.
He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And so we come to the New Testament, in which Paul opens his second letter to the Corinthians, following this same theme of God's comfort for his people and to each one of us. So 2 Corinthians 1st chapter, verse 4. The Lord, God of all comfort, Father of compassion, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble in the comfort we ourselves have received from God. As you see, it's in God's plan not only that God will comfort us, but that our comfort will come from each other. The Lord God wants to comfort us and comforts us in each time of suffering. And as just mentioned, perhaps strangely enough, he does that all of that comforting through people, using us, we who are sinners, who are full of shortcomings. No matter what kind of trouble it is, he wants to comfort us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, "For God chose to save those who believe through the foolishness of the preaching word. God has decided that we human beings are precious and important, no matter how foolish we are. And he has decided and is practicing to give his own comfort through us. This is his custom, this is his promise to us, wherever we are. He has decided that his work of love, this awesome love of his, which comforts us, will only be done through people. God comforts us directly through prayer, of course, through the words of the Bible, through praise and worship. But in the end, we humans are always involved in all the things that comfort us. We human beings are the conduit and vessel through which God's comfort is conveyed to people, to those near us, to those closest to us. And we humans are supposed to get comfort through the people God uses. But what we need to be aware of and keep in mind is that because we want to be comforted, we may use people to satisfy our need. But if we try to use people to satisfy our need, we will not be able to find comfort. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 24, verse 67 again, the same verse that we read before. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. And so she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Before the words, "Isaac found comfort after his mother's death," there's an important phrase. Isaac loved Rebekah. Before Isaac found comfort in Rebekah, Isaac loved her. You have to love before you can get comforted. If you love, you have earned it. So, we don't love because we receive comfort. Isaac loved her because we love. And in so, he got comfort. It is not comfort to fall into egoism and say, "Comfort me," because you want to be comforted. It is comforting to know that when you love, you get comfort. There is no comfort without love. Isaac loved those who were closest to him, and when he did so, he found comfort through them, through his love for them. Death takes comfort away from us, but God continues to place comforting people close to us. Loving those who are close to us will then lead to new comfort. It's all connected. God is one who thoroughly gives comfort through people. And he gives us comfort by loving those near us. We cannot find comfort by clinging to a comfort that is gone forever. Of course, the memories, the feelings of those who cannot be replaced, their whole lives with us, These are precious memories, and we won't forget them. Never will we forget. But God is always trying to give us new comforts, comforts that come from loving others, from loving the people around us. I have 4 half-siblings. I have 3 brothers and a sister. And in the sermon at last year's service, I talked about how much I missed my father when he passed away. And when my father passed away, we were afraid that losing our common connection, our father, would tear apart our family. This was a vague worry that enveloped us. He was a strict father and a scary father, but at the foundation, he was a kind man. And he certainly was a comfort to my mother and my 6 brothers and sisters. He was much shorter than me, but he was a strict and scary father. He was all ready to take a stand. And no matter what happened, no matter how bad things got, he was always there for each of us. There were times when he scolded us harshly. He beat us and said things like, "You are no longer our child." But in truth, he was always on our side, no matter what. And when my father passed away, I realized that he was a comfort to each of us. All of us in the family were comforted through him. There are times when I felt, and I still feel, a great sense of loss and loneliness at the absence of that comfort. And when I feel this loneliness today, I remember my father, and I wondered many things. Now, after my father passed away, I sometimes wondered if the family would be divided between my mother, myself, and my younger sister, and my 4 elder brothers and sister. In particular, my mother is a stepmother to my elder brothers, and to be honest, I was a bit worried about what my brothers would do with her. Wouldn't they say, "She's our mother, not yours"? However, despite my worries, my brothers began to love my mother more than they did when my father was alive, saying that she was their mother with great care and passion. I wasn't able to take good care of her, and they said, "Hey, Toyo, you should take care of your mother. You take care of your mother." Since my father's death, my mother has returned to her hometown in Korea after 40 years of living in Tokyo. But I, the son, have only been to her house once. When I went there, instead of giving my mother a little pocket money to help with her living expenses, I came home with pocket money from her. However, my brothers visited my mother in Korea many times and gave her some pocket money to help her with living expenses and sent her money on a regular basis. What a great comfort this has been to us. Perhaps you cannot imagine this. It is such a great comfort to the whole family to see my brothers loving my mother after the death of my father. Family can be the greatest comfort. And so, God is always wanting to give us comfort. And he always places someone near us who can be a comfort. They're not someone to use to satisfy our need to be comforted, but someone to love, who will bring us comfort when we love and because we love, because we're in love with each other. The desire to love and the actions of loving the people that God has placed around each of us now will lead to comfort. When we love others, when we love each other, there we find comfort. When we love someone, that is when we find such comfort. Of course, we know the Bible's words that says that love is generous, kindness, not boasting, it endures, and so on. And in a word, love is dying for someone. In a nutshell, love is dying for someone, no matter what the humiliation, no matter the consequences, no matter what the collateral damage or pain, love is dying for that person. It is me dying in front of that person. It means that in front of that person, I die. I do not attack them. I do not look down on them. I don't forgive them. I don't, it, instead of attacking them and looking down on them and not forgiving them, I die in front of them. I'm sorry, correction. The reason why God wants to speak of love and comfort so openly is because Jesus, who is God himself, died for people, as a man, for each one of us. He embodied love, and he was loved. And because of that love and embodiment of love, he gave us the ultimate comfort. The ultimate consolation is to be found in Jesus Christ. And his consolation is expressed to us through others, and it is embodied and felt through loving others. Above all, we are the vessels that show the comfort of God. The comfort that Isaac experienced after the death of his mother, that is, after the loss of a loved one, comes when we love those who are close to us. In the annual service to commemorate those who have passed away, I hope that we will be people of love who can find comfort after their passing. In this memorial service that we conduct every year, we remember those we loved and who comforted us. I hope that we will be people of love who can find comfort after their passing. So let us pray.